this entire passage is really one story. All I'm going to do is tonight is hit a few of the high points. The passage begins with Jesus doing something remarkable that no prophet in the Old Testament ever did. He heals a man born blind. This man has lived his entire life in darkness. Remember last week's lesson. Jesus is the light of the world. Eyes and ears. Jesus repeats that again in our lesson tonight. The way the man is healed is intriguing. Jesus makes mud and puts it on his eyes, kind of like a plaster of mud. And then he tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. The name Siloam means sin. Irenaeus was correct when he pointed out that man was created from dirt. The dirt covering this man's eyes represents man's fall into sin, which results in all men living by nature in darkness. Augustine was also correct when he connected the washing away of the dirt from the man's eyes with baptism, the outward sign of Jesus' cleansing of men so that sin might be cleansed from us and that we might live in the light. The result of all of this is that this man is a new creature. He is a new creation, renewed in life, who is in the light because of the work of Jesus. And his blindness was a gift from God so that Jesus could illustrate what he came to do for his people. At the beginning, Pharisees were convinced that every illness is the result of some sin. And so they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus said, this isn't the result of sin. This man is blind so that I might give him sight. Well, you think that's harsh? I bet this man lived the rest of his life rejoicing that he had met and seen Jesus and that he had been the object of the work of Jesus' grace. After Jesus heals the man, he tells his disciples a parable, which explains what he has just done. In the parable, the sheepfold refers to his kingdom, to his church. Those who enter in are safe from judgment, from harm, from the wolves that devour. They are protected in the wilderness. The good shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. He is concerned for their welfare, even at his own risk. The sheep instinctively know this, and so they recognize the voice of their shepherd. He leads, not drives, but leads them out to green pastures and to clean water. And for them, he is like, now think back a few chapters in chapter 6. What has Jesus been doing? On the mountain, he comes down, he leads the people to a green space, he feeds them, right? Miraculously, he feeds the people who come to him. He is leading them. He is feeding them. He is caring for them. He is healing their diseases. He is casting out demons. Of course, as often was the case, the people who heard the parable did not understand. And so Jesus explains its meaning in verses 7 through 18. Here we have two of the I Ams of Jesus, which I'm focusing on during this Lent. He says, I am the door. That is, he is the way of entry into the sheepfold. There is no other way into the kingdom, into the church, into God's eternal presence, except through Jesus. We have the side doors painted red. There's a reason for that. The church has various denominations and various times painted the doors into the church red. The way into the church, the way into the kingdom, is through the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the church testifies. There's an old Episcopal church in the community close to mine is painted bright white and a bright red door. And I hope the people in that community know what that represents. Whiteness. Here is the cleansing. Here is the kingdom. The way in is through the death of Jesus Christ. To explain what it means that then Jesus also says, getting ahead of myself, what Jesus also says here is not only I am the door, he says I am the good shepherd. To explain what this means, we need only to reflect for a few moments on what happened to the blind man. The word of Jesus' healing spread to the Pharisees. And so they called the blind man before them, like a church court. And they asked him to give an account of what had happened. And he told them that Jesus had given him sight. They did not believe him, so they called his parents in and asked them to testify. And they identified their son as the man born blind as their son, or vice versa. But they were hesitant to take on the Pharisees. They knew the power of the Pharisees, and how the Pharisees and the priests and the Sadducees were all allied against Jesus. So they said, "We don't know how it happened. He's a grown man. Ask him." And so they brought him back, and they asked him again. And again he said, "Jesus has healed me." But the Pharisees said, "This was done on the Sabbath. This Jesus is clearly a sinner." And the man responded, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But this I know, I was born blind and now I see." Don't you love that? In front of the authorities that could cast him out of the synagogue and out of Israel, really, and count him as a pagan, he still stood fast and says, "I don't know much about this man, but one thing I do know, he gave me sight, and I will not back off of telling the truth to you." An argument ensued that the man, after the man persisted in standing for Jesus. "If this man were not from God," he said, "he could not do this. He's a prophet. He's from God. He has given me sight." And so the Pharisees cast him out. That is, they excommunicated him from the synagogue. This means he was no longer considered a part of the covenant people, no longer a part of God's people, no longer a part of the church and kingdom of God. Now, the Pharisees and the priests and the Sadducees were all supposed to be the shepherds of Israel that I read about in Ezekiel. Their task was to teach God's word to his people and point them to the coming of the Christ, the seed of Adam, the son of Abraham, the line of David, who would be king over his people. All of the Old Testament pointed to Christ. It was their task to tell the people, "He is coming. Put your hope and faith and trust in the coming one, the coming Christ." They were to lead the people in following the Lord, giving them nourishment on the word of God. Even as a shepherd leads the people to good grass and to water. They didn't do that. What did they do to this man? They cast him out. They were to love the people, even to the point of giving themselves in behalf of the people. But the good shepherd risked his life for the flock. They are called shepherds, like those whom Ezekiel pointed to in our first lesson. He prophesied against them that the false shepherd's days were numbered. God would judge. He would send the true shepherd, the seed of David, who would gather his people and feed and nourish them and bring them into his kingdom. These shepherds, these Pharisees and priests, are not the door to the kingdom, for they are self-concerned, motivated by their own power and their own profit and their own standing in the community. About the time of Christ, and perhaps a little before, there were the Qumran community. You've heard of them. There are documents that were found and translated, some of them, at least. And the Qumran documents describe the priest Jesus' day, and I quote, "as amassing money and wealth like plundering the people." Oh, I can make applications, but you can probably make them yourself. Since the time of Herod the Great, the priests were hirelings whom he appointed so they would not threaten his rule as king of Israel. Herod claimed to be the king that was promised, and he appointed priests who would agree with them. And they were the shepherds of Israel. What does Jesus do? Someone comes to Jesus and tells him what's happened to this man that was born blind. And what does Jesus do? He acts like a good shepherd. He goes looking for the man. And when he finds the man, he reveals himself as the Son of God, the hope of Israel. And the man confesses, "Lord, I believe." And he falls down on his face and he worships Jesus. Jesus' purpose in giving this man sight is so that he can see and believe in him. So who is the good shepherd? Well, it's Jesus, isn't it? He is the one who fulfills the prophecies of Ezekiel. He gives sight to this man. He has searched for him, brought him into the kingdom. Hasn't Jesus done the same thing for you? He has searched you out. He knows you by name. He has cleansed you. He has opened your eyes to know who you are and where you are and why you are here and how you are to live and where you are going. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is also presented to us here as the gate of the sheepfold. So we have two figures of speech, two symbols attached to Jesus. He is the good shepherd who cares for the people. He is the door, the gateway into the kingdom of God. He is our salvation. Only Jesus can cause the cherubim at the entrance to the garden to lay down their flaming swords and allow us to enter in. Only Jesus can tear down the veil in the Holy of Holies in the temple that keeps people out of the presence of God. And he will do this by laying down his life for the sheep. This is what makes Jesus the good shepherd. But not merely a good shepherd, the good shepherd. The good shepherd for all God's people. You and I were like the man born blind. Even if we were born in the church and raised in it, we were still like the man born blind. And we needed to be cleansed and we needed to have our eyes open. Jesus has given you sight. He has sought you out. He has called you by name. He has led you into the kingdom of God. In him you have the love and grace of God that is beyond my feeble words to describe. At Lent, we remember and we commit ourselves again to Jesus. So keep listening to the voice of Jesus.